You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
So let's talk about somebody who...
Don't you get me mad, Doc.
Let's talk about somebody who is kind of stuck a little bit in this world of, do I play the game or do I not play the game?
Okay, who is that?
Nicki Minaj.
Bruh, she is such a fascinating case right now. Let's talk about it.
Boy, I don't even know where to start with Nicki right now. Nicki is still not happy.
Clearly.
I don't know what would make Nicki happy. Her using her name and the work that she's put in to get Queen Radio as a reality is great for her hardcore fans.
Yes.
I do not know how good it is for the health of her career.
Explain.
I don't know if more unfiltered Nicki is what is going to make Nicki Minaj sell records. And maybe that's okay. Like, it is not easy to live in this world of you can be on social media. We've kind of had this conversation a bit before. Like, it is not easy to live in this world of you can see all these people who say these bad things about you, where you have immediate access to put someone on blast. Nicki has a thin skin. Some people do. But her entire image is built on her being the queen. And what is she like at some point? The music stops. Like, you know, and you have to sit there and go, okay, what have you done to get that? Mm-hmm. Right? It's the 50 Cent problem. You build your career first off of, you know, making this miraculous recovery from a shooting, but then eventually 50 Cent's career was built on the fact that he was successful and had money.
Yes.
And someday you won't be. And now what? And Nicki, you know, like, she puts out freestyles and, like, look, I get it. Like, you're gonna, you know, but, like, her career is built off numbers. Her self-image or the image that she's trying to portray, right, you know, over the last couple of years is so much built off numbers that she was, like, sharing screenshots of the fact that these freestyles were, like, at the top of the Audiomack charts. And I'm like, all right. Nicki Minaj, what is going on? Who is advising you?
Yeah.
Nicki, the answer is to go make dope music. Yeah. Or put all of your energy into an incredible set for your tour that you are about to do. And shut all those people up who joked when the tour was canceled and all that stuff. Like, those are your two ways out. Not even out. Those are your two paths forward. One of the two. And she is choosing the third option, which is the modern option. It's the Soulja Boy option, which is the I'm going to get on social media and I'm going to get on whatever platform I can get on. I'm going to talk ish and I'm going to be this persona that talks about being the best. But I just, who's that? Is that working for Nicki right now? Heard a lot of flex growls or modulated Man. Flex growls in that.
Modulated flex growls. Bruh. Man, you're I don't even know where to begin with Nicki. I think I've said this on the show before, but I feel like she came up in the wrong era, or she just didn't learn when to transition or to grow.
She came up in the era that we're gonna talk about today. Later today.
Yeah. She got a pop in 2009. Absolutely. So you come up in 2009 in this like traditional era. And one of the things when you think about longevity and any artist who has longevity, it's foresight. Foresight is so important to longevity. You have to see, okay, this is where things are going. Let me hop on the next boat. If I don't hop on the next boat, can I make the jump if it's a little too late? Because if the boat that I'm on and the boat that I see, if they get too far apart, I can't make that jump and I'm falling in the water. And I better hope to God that I know how to swim. And Nicki was doing a lot. And I think her team was doing a lot. And they were very much focused on right now. And I feel like Nicki's persona carried her more than her music did, which is why we always talk about, you know, all that's great, but you need a record. We talked about that with Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy is great, but you need a record. And so now she's at this place where, okay, yeah, this is like old school mentality. I got to put out freestyles. Like, well, no, you don't. No, you don't. Like you said, work on your tour. If the label's ready to put out an album, like you said they were, just make sure that the album is phenomenal. Make sure it's undeniable. And she's just, man.
Social media, it gives you that instant feedback of either here are all my fans coming to tell me how amazing I am.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's all these people who are telling me how not amazing I am. And that,
yeah.
I mean, there's a whole other conversation about really how unhealthy social media has to be.
Bruh. Oh my God. Yes.
At this level, like yes. At Nicki's level, I don't know how you can still use it how you can still try to use social media as a two-way platform. At this level, doesn't it just have to be broadcast out and you just don't, you turn off every notification humanly possible. You don't look at any reply ever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you look at some of her, like I'm on her Instagram page right now. Like when she posts a picture, it'll get like 20,000 comments.
Yeah.
You just can't dive in there.
And the way social media is like, it's particularly Twitter. It's not conversational. It's just like a bunch of people yelling at you at the same time.
Yeah.
And that can be overwhelming.
Yeah. So what's this deal with something about like, so BET posted something.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Okay. So what happened was, and let me find the article, but no, I'm not going to do that. Basically what happened was BET posted an article pretty much that Cardi was killing and Nicki Minaj, Cardi killed the Grammys and Nicki Minaj has to be sick is pretty much what they said. And because of that, Nicki was like, yeah, I think she had a show coming up. Like a BET experience show or something like that. And Nicki like pulled out immediately. Was like, yeah, we're not doing that. As she should have.
Good for her. I mean, sure. Good for her. I mean, look, here's the thing.
Your show is hilarious.
Is BET really out of pocket for that? Like,
I don't like when media outlets post from an opinionated point of view.
Hmm. All right. That's fair. I get that. I guess what I would say is, on the one hand, yes, it is incredibly unfortunate and disturbing that once again, anytime you have two prominent women in any field, the immediate assumption is that they have to be placed against one another in some sort mm-hmm. of battle.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, Nicki's entire career has been built on she is the best. She is the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You are inviting this exact kind of thing.
Hmm.
Now, I guess they could. Now, it is a little sexist, right? Because you could say just a little, but more than that. But because sure, they could say, hey, Childish won 3 Grammys. Nicki didn't win anything. Nicki's got to be really mad. Except like Nicki has shown that like it's one of those things where like maybe it's unfair that it happened in the first place. But I don't think it's unfair. And they could have done it in a better way. But the idea of pointing out that it would still appear that Nicki is not super enthused by the success of Cardi.
Absolutely.
Now, did they do it to get clicks? Yeah. Did they do it to get whatever? Yeah. But I don't know. So I've now talked myself into it where like they shouldn't have done it. It was stupid. But the observation behind it, like I think we kind of have to get past the, well, it's sexist to pit two women against one another in this way because it happened, right?
Mm.
It shouldn't mm-hmm. have happened, but it did.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have pretty clear evidence about how both artists feel about one another. It's not as though they were pitted against one another and they were like, no, it's all love. We're going to collaborate right. on each other's projects. It's not a problem. Because that's correct. Clearly not true.
Correct.
So, yeah.
You're right.
All
right. It's really stupid.
Let's switch gears.
Okay.
What is going... Well, he's free now, but we have totally missed out on the saga of 21 Savage.
Yes, the saga. The saga of 21 Savage.
Detained by ICE.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which, of course, then led a lot of people to go, wait a minute, 21 Savage isn't from Atlanta?
Yeah.
21 Savage, born in England.
Yeah.
Came here when he was like 6 or 7.
I thought it was 12. Was it 6 or 7?
It's like 6 or 7.
Okay.
And then he like visited or whatever. So like, I think like the last date on a passport or whatever, like might've been like when he was 12 or something like that. But basically he moved to Atlanta when he was like 2nd or 3rd grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a visa that expired.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a kid and that happens, it's not like, I mean, what are you going to do? Right. Like you probably don't even know, like you don't realize when you're 7 years old, do you really know, oh, I'm here on a limited time visa.
Absolutely.
You're a 7 year old kid. You don't know anything.
Correct.
So I don't think anybody faults him for that. It seems as though starting a couple years back, probably AKA once he started making really good money and got a team around him, that they quickly realized we need to get this solved and fast. So like they were doing that. He's in the queue with the government basically to try to get his legal status fixed. But he was, he was in a car that got pulled over. There was an arrest on his record that was expunged, but they still arrested him anyway. I don't know. I've still heard a lot of conflicting stories about why exactly they took him into custody.
Yeah.
Now, granted, this is Trump's America where ICE is running wild. So who knows?
Running wild is hilarious.
But he's out on bail as of today.
Yeah, fresh out of jail, California dreaming.
It was kind of surprising that I thought that somebody at the Grammys would have said a little more about him. But
yeah, they weren't gonna say that. I'm not surprised they didn't.
He was nominated.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I hear you.
But as everything with social media, you've got the initial people are gonna make jokes. So of course, everyone's like, "Oh, he's British," and so the British memes went flying, and people felt some kind of way about it. It's like, oh man, there's this whole cycle that happens with stuff now where I'm just like, could we just get over like the fake outrage and decide if there's some real outrage?
No.
This is a case where like, listen, 21 Savage is a really interesting rapper anyway. Sometimes he makes songs that are kind of funny. They're not supposed to be funny, but maybe they are supposed to be funny, but they can be surprisingly good at the same time. And to hear that he might be British, like, of course people are going to make jokes. It's Twitter. It's Instagram.
Right.
So like,
it's the culture that has been fostered.
Yeah. There's this whole culture of like, oh, we need to go crack jokes. And some of them were kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's like, sure. The idea of him rapping with like the idea of hearing him actually talk, if he had an English accent, it would be like, was it Plies who did that once? It wasn't an English accent, but all of a sudden, like when he wasn't rapping, he talked like,
I thought that was Lil Jon.
Was that Lil Jon? I thought it was Plies.
Yeah, that was Chappelle.
No, 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 no. Plies actually had that.
Okay.
It wasn't a Chappelle sketch, but it was like,
yes,
it wasn't quite as posh as that, but it was like, oh,
yes,
Plies, what's up?
We find out his name is Algernon. Yeah, he was rapping about his brother's life. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yep.
So, there's going to be jokes and stuff like that, but I think what was interesting to me is, on the one hand, like, I guess it was nice. It was good to see, like, in general, hip hop was like, yeah, this is terrible. Like, there was a nice rallying around effect. There was all sorts of stuff. No, you're not really feeling that?
Not rolling.
No?
Not rolling. No, because terrible things happen to people all the time and everybody cracks jokes. Like, let's look at what happened with, what's the girl's name? Not Ariana Grande. Who's the chick?
I don't know who you're talking about right now.
She went to rehab recently. I can't think of her name. Oh my God. Hold on.
All right. Oh, got some.
Demi Lovato.
Oh, Demi Lovato. Right.
Yeah. Okay. So she literally just said, I'm laughing at these 21 Savage memes.
Yeah.
And got killed for it.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at the memes.
Yeah. She didn't like.
You're not allowed to laugh.
She didn't go. She didn't like. She didn't like fire up an image editor on her computer and start like making memes or download an app to make memes.
Correct.
So she didn't like create the memes, but she said that she laughed at them. And apparently she gets dragged for it.
You can't do that. Can't laugh.
I saw a tweet recently that really, and I've heard people talk about this now, and it really sticks out to me that like, basically like every day there's like at least one, but sometimes a couple people who are just who lost on Twitter. And your goal every day is to not be the person who loses. Right? Like every day somebody's getting dragged.
Every day.
Every day. Sometimes multiple people.
Bruh, that's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's not even like a funny ha-ha. Like we just, you know, you're in a group chat, you're hanging out with your friends, y'all roast each other. That's whatever. But like, it's like a malicious roast. Malicious roast. Not to be confused with the delicious roast. I'm hungry. It's so malicious in its intent. And it's like, why are you so angry all the time about everything?
We're an angry country, man.
Bruh, oh my God.
Angrier and angrier. The last 2.5 years, we've gotten angrier.
Yes.
That 2016 election did something to this country, man.
Bruh.
I'm not looking for, I mean, as a political nerd, I'm looking for, I mean, obviously, like, I'm, you know, I subscribe to, I can't even tell you how many politics podcasts right now. So like, I'm gearing up for 2020, but like at the, but at the other end of the spectrum, it's like, oh man, like, it's going to be ugly, man.
Say, like, bro, what if it's worse?
Listen, I just, you saying that made me think, flash forward 2 years from now, and we've just, you know, inaugurated a second term of Donald Trump. And I just sit there and go, this is where we're at.
What if it's like The Rock, or what if it's like,
I take The Rock right now. That's fine.
What if it's like Wesley Snipes? Like, what if we just get this influx of people like, well, if Donald Trump ran, then clearly I could run. You know, I'm looking at your girl.
Who's my girl?
Like trying really, really hard to be down and with it and cool. Kamala Harris.
Okay. You know what? Let's real quick segue. Speaking of Go people ahead. Getting dragged.
Okay.
Right. She's getting dragged right now because she's like,
yes.
She admits she smoked weed. And okay. Somebody asked her what kind of music she was listening to, which is a dumb yes. question.
It is a dumb question.
So basically she said that she smoked weed in college. I don't even know how many times, but let's just say it was even once. Do you really think that she knows what she was listening to? Like, or, like it was some indelible experience for her?
Here's a question, Doc.
Yeah.
I've asked this for people who grew up smoking weed. Right. Now, weed was never my thing.
Yeah.
Do you play the music about weed while you smoke weed, and why? So like Bone Thugs made songs about smoking weed all the time.
Yeah.
Like, what constitutes a song about smoking weed? And why does that make you want to smoke weed? Because they're talking about it? Because of the feel of the song? Like, how does that work? How do you make a weed smoking soundtrack?
I mean, I could flip that and say, like, why do you make records about things that you learn about in church? Does it make you want to go to church? The closer your relationship to God, the more you probably want to talk about godly things. Is that
yes?
Okay. The Absolutely. Closer your relationship to weed.
Okay. I'm rolling.
I'm not
rolling,
saying I'm rolling, that weed is their God. I'm saying it becomes also weed is a lifestyle.
It is a lifestyle. It is. It is. Just like Christianity is a lifestyle, religious lifestyle. Yeah. Okay. I'm rolling.
But
okay.
I'm not a weed guy. I never smoked weed. I had roommates. I had people in college who I knew. Who I was close friends with, who definitely partook, and that like dominates the life. And all of a sudden, when you're their roommate, it starts to dominate your life. Because you got to be like, all right, so when do I towel the door? And what's Correct. This elaborate system we have for navigating the smoke out of our dorm Correct. Room and this whole setup? All right, why were we talking about weed?
We were talking about Kamala Harris. Yes.
So somebody asked her what music she was listening to. And she was like, oh, you know, must have been, you know, something effective basically, but it was like Tupac and Snoop, right?
Yeah.
And of course everyone's like, nah, this would have been 1986, not happening. And so she has been sort of, not to get too deep in political weeds, right? But she is certainly a Democrat. She is certainly liberal. I don't know how super left she really is. We're all about to find out. She has a past as a prosecutor that has some questionable things that people who are super incredibly like crazy left, I mean, honestly crazy in a bad way. I just mean incredibly to the left on the spectrum, find unappealing. And for folks like that, they see her running for office, and they see it with many politicians as inauthentic, right? They're pandering to try to get votes. So for a lot of people who weren't inclined to already like her, this struck them as the ultimate example of pandering. To me, I'm trying to take a more generous view and say, look, she was asked a question. I'm guessing she is roughly aware, obviously, of the fact that like hip hop music was a thing when she was in her late teens into her 20s. And it's what you might broadly call old school hip hop, right? That era, right? She's in college in 86. So that means, you know, she's in her 20s until the late 90s, right? So her, you know, if you're not super into music, like you and I are really into music. Right. Like I am obsessively into music where like I can tell you like, oh, this came out on this day in this year sometimes, which terrifies me. But most people aren't. And memory can be a really crazy thing. Right. If you if you think that it happened, sometimes it can be like, oh, wait, you mean that happened? Wait, that didn't happen that way. So like, was she probably listening to some old school hip hop? Sure. Did she undoubtedly at some point in her late teens, or actually for her, the timing, it'd be more in her 20s. Did she listen to Snoop and Tupac? Almost certainly. Did she conflate the two memories? Probably. But it's Twitter and you got to have your receipts. And if you don't, you get dragged.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes now.
Yep. That's trash. I thought she was in college in like 89 or something. And that's why people were upset. She was in college in like in 96?
86.
80, okay, 86.
Which is why people are like, oh, well, people are like, whoa.
Okay.
But
so she was smoking weed to Boogie Down Productions.
World Class Record Crew or something, you know?
What, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, she was listening to Dr. Dre. She could have been listening to, Easy Does It's 88. Never mind.
Right, but it's close enough, you know? I'm like, it's one of those things, like, is it possible she was listening to hip hop? Sure. Is it possible that later on in her life, maybe she smoked weed and listened to hip hop? Maybe. Who knows?
Right.
Right. But like people are, you know, people want to take what they hear. And if there's ever a mistake, they want it to fit the narrative of what they already believe. And if they believe me to be fake, then they're like, they look at this and they're like, aha, I knew
it. Correct. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. That's funny. I thought this side A was going to be super short.
Ooh, boy. And it was not. So what happens when we take a couple bars off?
Took a couple bars off. Do you want to say anything? So we talked quickly Offset. We talked 21 quickly. Nikki. Oh, your man DMX.
Yes.
He's going on tour.
He's going on tour.
Doing a belated 20th anniversary of It's Dark and Hell's Hot.
Yes.
Better late than never.
My favorite albums of all time. Yes. Yes. I'm here for it.
As the kids say, you're here for it.
I'm here for it. Yep.
He's doing a lot of markets.
He is. Yeah. Whoever booked him everywhere.
Booked him everywhere.
Except Columbus.
Well, you know. He's not doing Connecticut either. You know, he's doing Boston and New York, but no Connecticut.
Okay.
But yeah, he's even doing what is Saugat, Illinois? There's gotta be a college there.
It's probably a college. It sounds like a college town.
Right. Like Lawrence, Kansas. I was like, oh, right. That's where University of Kansas is. So like you see some of this stuff. You're like, what? What is he doing there? But, you know.
Is he big in colleges? Are the college kids up on DMX?
That's another question. No. Well, you know what it is? It's all the people our age who just work for colleges.
Okay.
Right. Because like, really, are college kids going to see the 20th anniversary of It's Dark and Hell's Hot? But so, Armand, the question is, are you going?
Absolutely.
Okay. You just got to figure out where you're going.
Yeah. So here's the conundrum. So he's doing his third show is in Indianapolis. It's about a 2-hour drive, an easy 2-hour drive, I should say. Do you do the third show where he doesn't quite have everything figured out? He's still like getting his wind up. Also, you know, like DMX has had stories of no showing tour dates and, you know, kind of erratic behavior. Like, do you pay the $37.50 for the show, make the 2-hour drive only for him to not show up? Or do you wait until I think he's doing Cleveland and Detroit, like in May? He's got his wind up. He could probably be exhausted by this point. And do you just wait and go to the show then? I'm not sure yet, to be honest with you. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sadly, I will not be attending. I'm out of town.
Why not?
When he is in the Northeast. And that's, what are you going to do? So let me ask this. Do you think he performs only the album?
Nah, he does the hits.
Do you think he does, but he's probably going to do some more stuff from this album that he wouldn't normally do.
Oh, yeah. He's doing like ATF. Oh, my God. If he does ATF.
First of all, he's coming out to the intro, right?
He can't do anything else.
And that right there, that alone will be worth it for you.
Yep. Intro, stop being greedy. Get at me, dog.
Oh, my God. Stop being greedy.
Effing with D. How's it going down?
Started something.
The convo started something. Oh, my God. Like, that album is everything. I'm going to chill. But yes, I'm looking to go.
Can you imagine if everybody's there to hear this and you're expecting that the intro is going to be the intro from the album, the song it comes out to, and instead you hear the opening to Love For Me. Was it No Love For Me? What's the record off of the second album, the single?
Yeah, that was No Love For Me.
Right. All of a sudden you hear Swiss, throw your hands in, put your hands in there, and you're like, oh no, 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 no.
And then Dragon comes out. I'm down for a 7-minute Dragon set.
Listen, he comes out, he does Spit These Bars.
Yep.
He does Down Bottom.
He could do his verse off Scenario 2000. He has to do something rappy.
And
he does a new record.
He does a new record.
He 100% does a new record.
Wait, DMX or Dragon?
Dragon.
Do you think DMX does, do you think he's got anything new?
Yeah.
See, the thing about this tour is like, all these, would be, I'm sure, like, it'll be great to hear like some of these songs live, but man, that New York show, you know Swiss is going to be there.
Oh, everybody's going to be there.
Oh, that New York show will be crazy.
Oh, if they do the Get At Me Dog remix, they'll do Started Something Live. They might even get Mace. Yeah, the New York show's going to be nuts. What? I'm angry.
Can I come back?
Yeah, early? What day is that?
That's the 5th of April. Can I get back from, hold up, did I already book my flight for?
Bro, you might want to look that up.
Oh, man, can't make it.
I thought you were going to say he comes out to the other intro. He comes out to the intro from his second album.
No, no. I don't even remember what that sounds like.
Oh, come on, these stupid ads. Hold on.
Oh, this. You know?
Come on!
And the whole crowd is just stone-faced. Just
absolutely.
They're like, no. Nah.
Well, it'll be a couple people.
You're going to be like, yeah.
No, that record, that's the original Father Stretch My Hands, like two bars in, and I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. We can't do this. You have this big buildup and you just ruin it. But I'm there for sure. Like I told you, once Michael Jackson died and I realized I'll never see him perform live, like I'm seeing all my favorites perform. I just need Jay to do a B-side.
I need another B-sides.
God, yes. Please do a B-sides tour.
You know, it's interesting, right? He could be at the point where he would be doing like a more nostalgia-based approach to his career, but because him and Beyonce are still making records, still win Grammys, like he's not there. Otherwise, yeah. You know, well, we'll see in 2021.
I think he'll do something.
For Blueprint?
Oh.
2021 would be Blueprint, right?
Yeah.
Because the logical points for his career would be like either he did, you know, you do it for Reasonable Doubt. Maybe you could have talked yourself into something for Volume 2 would have been interesting, but definitely Blueprint, maybe Black Album.
100% Black Album.
But 2021 will be Blueprint and a 20th anniversary show for Blueprint.
I'm there. In the front row.
Yeah, we're there. 100%.
I'm popping. Yep, I'm popping for those tickets. Absolutely.
Yep. And the whole time I'm going to be screaming in between songs, play early this morning.
Oh my God. Yeah. Do the outtakes.
Addicted to the Game.
Please do Addicted. If I hear early this morning, I'm screaming like a girl. I am screaming like a child. Oh my God. That's a great record. Okay. All right.
Armand just runs up on stage and he starts rapping.
I'm like, no, I got this shit. I got it. Big pitching, they clean up hit. Oh my God. Oh, was something else I was gonna say about the Grammys and I don't wanna have that conversation. I was gonna have jokes for the Rock Nation brunch, but we're super into this show. Let's just
go. Oh man, Rock Nation brunch.
Yo, that can't be a goal. That cannot be a goal.
What do you mean?
It can't be. It just, people are like, oh, when you get this many brilliant minds in a room together.
You have brunch.
I didn't see not one person eat. I saw one video went viral where like two girls were dancing at the party and people were mad at him. Like, okay, all right, all right.
And people right. people got mad because somebody smiled at Jay.
Yeah, like look. Look, Jay-Z and Beyonce are there. Jay-Z's taking pictures with everybody. Do you or do you not shoot your shot for a pic?
I was going to make a joke about how Jay-Z looks like somebody's aunt, but I know that joke's been made. What is he doing?
I just want a picture. If he had that suit on with his legs crossed, oh, 100% auntie vibe. 100%. And he like interlocked, he interlocks his fingers and they're wrapped around his knee.
No, but no, the brunch, it was very, you know, you know what? It was a lot of famous people who were told to dress up and we're going to have some good photographers there and do it for the gram. And that's fine.
Absolutely.
It's totally fine.
Absolutely. And to that point, I'm going to make a serious point and then we can transition because we're super long into this. Somebody like Nipsey Hussle, I appreciate what he did at the Grammys. Nipsey's whole thing was, I'm not going to win, but I'm celebrating all week. Mm. I can appreciate that because I feel like that was a goal, or it wasn't a goal and you like exceeded it. Like, yo, I'm going to the Grammys. I got nominated for Best Rap Album. I'm going. I'm not going to win, but we in here. And make an event out of it and put out new music at the end of the week. Mm. I'm totally with it. Because to me, that's celebrating your own goal. Like, the goal's not to win a Grammy. It felt like this is the culmination of something that I've been planning for the last 10 years. So let's take this weekend to celebrate.
For sure.
And I appreciate that. And that album still should have won Album of the Year, but that's fine.
No.
Doc. Oh, that was another thing. How do you feel about her immediately getting on stage and the first thing she says is, oh, this was an EP, not an album? It's the nerdiest acceptance speech I've ever heard in my life.
Well, actually,
it was an album. It was a collection of her EPs.
Like, that's like your man Chancellor the Rapper.
Come dropping in July.
He announced and saying that this is going to be his first album.
Shut up, Chance. Here's why.
Because he said what he did before was for the fans. But now he's known, and it's different. I'm paraphrasing. But I was like, come on, Chance. You performed at the Grammys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
all right, so this shit is so
okay. And this is what, maybe this is a perfect transition to 2009. Because me,
2009,
because to me, if Coloring Book's not an album, if 10 Days not an album, if Acid Rap's not an album, or if that's not an album, like, then we can't have the discussion of whether So Far Gone is an album. And to me, So Far Gone is 100% an album. It's an album. We can't eliminate that from Drake's discography and then say Drake doesn't have any classics. Wiz Khalifa, Kush, and Orange Juice is an album.
Yeah.
It's an album. Like, I don't want to Currency Wit, I went like deep into 2009. I went to like the mixtapes.
I did too.
How Fly, it's an album. Crit Was Here, no, it's 2010. That was an album.
Yeah.
Like, the market just wasn't, all those albums would have been on iTunes if they would have came out today. Just like So Far Gone would have been on iTunes had it come out today. So I don't want to hear that. So if that's the case, no, Chance, this is your fourth album. Opportunity.